This is the 419th edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We're calling this one the Cavern News, rather. It's kind of an interesting, crazy long story as to why nothing's been updated. Well, not that, but no additional audio content has been put out there. I'm not sure if you can tell from the echoes surrounding me right now, but the caffeination layer is still in some small state of disrepair. We're trying to get everything up and running. Unfortunately, you need somewhere around 12 to 24 hours of drying time in an empty room. And in a house as packed full of stuff as we happen to have this one, or as to correct that, as I happen to have created here, so much cruft, and there's only so many different places you can put it. So we're trying to work out a time. Hopefully that may end up being this Friday. If that's the case, then I get to move all this stuff out of here, paint the floor with probably what is going to be an incredibly noxious substance, and then get everything back in here and situated. So if that all happens in due time, then we are hopefully going to be able to get this particular show up and running. I'm going to do the live shows once more, and everything will get back up in the correct way. So if you have been following the fun over at caffeination.com, which is where you can find this and all the other content that we have up and available for the podcast in support of it, it's over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. You can head on over there. You can find a whole bunch of articles. We're going to be giving you a little bit of a rundown of some of the best, the finest flavors from the past week, let's just say, that we've been talking, as well as some other random bits of cruft that didn't quite make it onto the actual blog. So we're kind of doing the blog as a way of expounding a little bit more upon some of the more interesting topics that we would normally cover on the podcast itself, and hopefully we're going to be able to craft this into a different way to actually do the show. And yeah, I don't know. I'm really kind of digging this. I like being able to kind of express myself a little bit more on some of the different topics without boring people by doing it all on the actual audio version of the show. I also know we have a bunch of people who actually read the show and don't actually listen, so it's kind of a way of getting them involved in the conversation as well. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation, please feel free to send me an email, comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail over to caffeination@gmail.com. Tweet me up at twitter.com/caffeination. You can dial into our listener line at 215-240-1319. There's all kinds of different things you can do over there, so head on over to the homepage, rather, and just search around, see what we got going for you. We have a bunch of cool little product reviews and things that are shaping up, but we're still stuck between dank spot and a dry rot, as I have up in the show notes. Literally every time it rains here, and it's been raining for the past couple days, the floor begins to get wet because the groundwater is seeping up through it, and that's a bad thing. So hopefully the ceiling of the basement will, or not the ceiling as in the top part of the room, but actually ceiling, S-E-A-L, will hopefully fix that. But yeah, so it's fun. And just remember, if you're a renter, you don't have to deal with this kind of thing. Or if you do, it's somebody else's problem. So, all right, first thing we got up for you here in the Geek Cruft section of the Caffeination Podcast, yet another one of the podcasts that's actually self-sponsored. So if you'd like to sponsor the show, please feel free to get in touch with us. We are a proud member, however, of the Tech Podcast Network. It's all the other member shows, including us, have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content, and everything is listed over at techpodcasts.com. And we are a proud Puzzle Piece Productions. The initial design for the new site over there at Puzzle Piece Pro .com is actually up, and we're working on some content and different things that are actually going to shift the way that site is used. So I got over a bunch of the different major hurdles, so that one's actually going to be kind of fun in the very, very near future. So you can head on over there, kind of keep that on your general radar, and hopefully everything will work out here. All right, we got two sections here, as per usual. We got Geek Cruft and your food and caffeinated bits. It's roughly even on the amount of awesome that is shoved into each one. Even though I know that you're not supposed to generally use those kind of terms, it's just what we happen to deal in here at the Caffeination Podcast. We try and find a way to shove as much awesome into a little bit of a show as we can, so we're going to head right on in. The first thing that we got up for you here is 3D movies, budgets, gimmicks, and prices. Now, if you have been under a rock, you probably would have been a little bit surprised at the incredible number of movies that are coming out in 3D. The 3D TV technology is not yet here to the point where most people can afford it, so Hollywood has something once more in the theaters that people cannot replicate in their homes. So what did they decide to do with the newfound popularity? And despite the fact that they are charging more for 3D movies as it is, they decide to try and kill their quote-unquote golden goose, as the fine folks over at Tech Dirt have dubbed it, and raise the prices because it's popular. They're not raising it, they're not trying to blame it on piracy, because while technically you could pirate a 3D movie, it's much harder to enjoy that same experience at home, as the case may be. So it's one of those things where they once more have the content and have the draw to pull people in. We just don't know what it's going to do. So they're actually raising the prices on 3D movies somewhere around 10%, and 2D movies they're raising around 5%. It's already happened. If you've gone to the movies within the past week like we have, believe it or not, they actually raised the prices last Friday on the 26th, and we went to see a movie on the 27th. We saw How to Train Your Dragon, an absolutely fantastic movie. We did not see it in 3D, not because I hate 3D movies or anything, which I do, but I think most of the scenes in the 3D movies are contrived to create that coming out of the screen effect, and not because of that at all, but because we went to a theater that didn't have the 3D theaters, so it was kind of funny, but still. So the boy loved it. As How to Train Your Dragon, it was actually a very good movie, despite the fact that some of the accents seemed a bit off. Just like most of mine are. But so that's what's happening there. Next little article that we got for you here is covered from over at caffeination.com. It's actually an article we originally talked about from gizmag.com. It's called Real Lawn Power. There's a new kind of mower out there. Well, it's actually technically not new. It's a regular push mower. But push mowers have evolved to the point where they are now becoming a much more green solution to the problem of cutting your lawn. Now, we actually use an electric mower here at the caffeination layer. We have a very small back 40 here on the property, so a gas mower would be ridiculous, although I do know there are some people in the area that actually do use it. So we don't have the same kind of polluting effects as some people who, let's just say, have a couple acres or something like that they're trying to mow. And we also don't have the need for the efficiency that supposedly a gas-powered mower would give you. So when I was growing up, we had something called a Scott push mower. It was honestly, 1-to-1 gear ratio. You pushed it, it spun the blades, and it cut it. So it was kind of interesting. I think my parents have already gotten rid of it. I actually asked them for it last time we talked about one of these, and unfortunately, I think they actually did. Well, there's something out coming out called the Momentum Reel Mower by Fiskars. Now, Fiskars is actually the company responsible for the first scissors with plastic handles, which is kind of funny to think about, that there's actually a company that claims the responsibility for that. But it's funny nonetheless. But the actual thing is that they actually have some kind of flywheel technology in there, so it's much, much easier to cut your grass. The price point that they're going for is $259, which is right around the high end for an electric mower. I don't know how much it compares to the gas mowers that are out there. So when the time comes to replace the goofy one that came with the house that only has technically three wheels that we got here at the Caffeination Podcast, I think I'm definitely going to be looking into this company, because it's such a small plot of land that it would only make sense to use something like this. I'm not sure how much exercise you want to do in your own property, but this is something that makes it a little bit easier to do it. Moving on to the next little article that we got for you here, Gearboard Control Mess. Now, this is a way to treat the symptom of the problem. The problem is peripheral creep. Basically, the more video game systems that are coming out now that have extra stuff that you need to play the video games is actually increasing. I mean, the Nintendo Wii has only caused this to happen more and more so frequently. I mean, you have the Wiimotes, and then you have the attachments for them that make it look like a football, that make it look like a steering wheel. I mean, for the people who can't extend their mind and use the power of their imagination to say, okay, I'm supposed to hold it this way and envision a sword. They actually need a foam sword to actually attach to it in order to make it work. That's not exactly me, but there are extra accoutrements that have been attached to our Wii. Everybody has the Guitar Hero guitars. No matter what system you use, you have a giant clunky guitar sitting around. If you have the Star Wars one, you have a lightsaber. I mean, there's so many things that are gathering dust that the Gear Board is actually a concept device to hang all of them on the wall in an easy to organize fashion. The only thing that it doesn't actually take care of is the Dance Dance Revolution mats that are currently living under the couch in the Caffeination Lair. Yes, we actually do have Dance Dance Revolution, and I'm actually halfway decent at it. As long as somebody's telling me where to put my feet, I'm all right. All right, next little thing that we got up for you here is wooden clocks. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast for any stretch of time, you know that I love steampunk, the aesthetic that is that. I love clockwork devices of all kinds. So it's no stretch that when somebody puts a link out to build your own wooden clock, I would be interested. My father had a build your own cardboard clock some time ago, and I don't think he ever actually got it all the way put together because of, you know, parts got lost or something like that, or it wasn't done exactly right. So it's I'm looking at this, I'm saying, wow, that's a really fantastic design. And this these are like crazy pieces of kinetic sculpture, and they're all designed by Connor Boyle, and basically it's a way to create your own movable masterpiece on the wall. And it's kind of like a little bit of a tiered system for, you know, he gives you the soup to nuts version of the plans. He sells the plans for $37. You get a hard copy of the plans. You don't get you don't get anything, so you can just go in and laser cut it, which I do have access to a laser cutter. I don't think I would actually do it. I think the actual act of trying to saw each one of the teeth is beautiful in and of itself. If I ever have time on my hands, I would love to try and build one of these. They're just really, really cool. And beyond the really, really cool factors, you know, they're also semi-functional. Depending on which one you pick, you can find out, you know, there's ones where it's actual moving parts that can keep track of the regular time. There's ones that are actually, you know, you would advance them every day to actually keep track of the calendar and the phase of the moon and everything else you can possibly imagine. So if you are good enough to actually create one of the ones he has up there for, you know, a soup to nuts version, he will allow you access to get in and buy the master selection of ones. They're called the Masochist's Corner, and they're four clocks that have no instructions with them at all. All they have is the plans so that you can trace and cut things out. That's just awesome. I mean, the fact that there's a tiered level to frustration is interesting. And I have to read this tiny little passage to kind of give you a glimpse into Connor's ideas here. It says, "Selling the plans for the clocks on this page goes against my basic philosophy of trying to spread the joy in the world through creative woodworking. However, I have come to the conclusion that I cannot stand in the way of a woodworker's desire for additional frustration in his or her life when they obviously want it so badly. So if you would like to be frustrated, you too can head on over to Connor Boyle's webpage, which is actually hosted at lisaboyer.com/ClaytonPsych, or you could just actually go over to the Caffeination page and actually read the article and click on over there. But $37 isn't a lot of dough at all to spend for something that's really this beautiful, and it's something you yourself would create. So next little piece of fun that we have out there is, if you haven't as of yet reserved or received your Wii Netflix discs, make sure that you get on there to register to actually get it. It's incredibly simple. We haven't gotten ours as of yet. I registered a little bit late, but in case you'd like to get in on the fun, for those of you who already have the Xbox 360 or you have the Sony PS3, you already have had this available to you. If you have the Xbox 360, you don't need an extra disc. It's actually part of the latest dashboard update. The PS3, I believe, needs a disc in the drive to actually get it up and running. So I know that on more than one occasion, actually, this has saved me from having to, you know, run out to the video store or find something else when there's absolutely nothing on TV. You can really just go around and kind of pick the fun stuff out and watch it with your kids or do whatever. It's really cool. Next little piece of fun that we got for you again in the Geekcraft section is Bugs with Do. Geeky, yes, maybe. Awesome, incredibly so. There's a great article over at the Daily Mail about a gentleman by the name of Miroslav Svitek, and he is a physiotherapist. But his hobby is to actually go out and actually take pictures of sleeping insects covered in dew. And these are incredibly high-resolution macro photography of these bugs that he's taking pictures of at 3 a.m. He says sometimes they're so covered in dew, and I guess would eventually be frost if you get them at the right time of the year, that he can't even tell what they are. All he knows is that they're absolutely gorgeous. So if you have a couple seconds, I would seriously say that you should go over and check these out. I mean, these are like incredibly magnified pictures of bugs. And one of the kind of funny things about this is I didn't know, but bugs didn't sleep. I never actually thought about it, I guess, but they just enter into periods where they're less active. I guess that's kind of like how I am in my sleep mutant phase, since I'm not entirely ever asleep at any one point in time, but I do kind of think it's fun that this guy gets up at 3 a.m., wanders out into the woods, and just takes pictures of insects. I couldn't even find a bug at 3 a.m. I'm not that coherent, you know what I mean? All right, next little article that we got for you here is an awesome article by sent to me by one of my friends, Fabrice. It's talking about greener fonts. It's a way to actually save toner by changing the default font that you use to print on laser printers. Now, the idea behind this font is that it's a standard font, but it has holes all through the center of it. If you were to increase the magnification, it actually looks like an iron girder or a piece of Swiss cheese, depending on how you want to slice it. And it's kind of neat. Except here's the problem. When you're actually looking at the font itself, it's called Sprang Eco Sans, and it's interesting because everybody's like, oh, you know, it saves a lot of money for corporate IT, but at the same point in time, I think it's much less readable and it actually increases eye strain. I don't know if there's anybody else who sees this. I mean, it's the same thing with printing in draft. I personally think that when you print in draft, I'm not a big email printer or anything like that, but when you print in draft and it uses much less ink and much less toner and actually creates lighter documents, I don't necessarily think that that's as useful as printing regularly, because it takes that much longer to read them. It's just not as usable. But if you happen to be in the business of conserving ink and doing whatnot, then you might want to try and switch over to Sprang Eco Sans if you'd like to save a little coin. So it saves roughly 30% on your toner budget, because there's 30% of the letter not actually there. It's all empty space. All right, next little awesome bit of stuff that we got up for you here. This is how you leave a company. There's way too many videos and things out there talking about how, if you know, the company's not treating you correctly, how you can put your resignation in. And George Carlin has famous bits where he says, you know, leave a company, you want to make sure that everybody knows that guy didn't get let go, he was fired. And so he goes through a series of incredibly vacillating between profane and stunning things that you can do to your boss, coworkers, or whatever else to make sure you can effect your release as quickly as possible. This is on the other end of this. Paul Trajan from over at Yahoo has actually been working there for 3 years. He's one of the founders of SearchMonkey, and he has a rap which he actually synced up to White and Nerdy by Weird Al, where he talks all about the different things he loved and the different things he's worked on, and he juggles throughout. He's riding a unicycle. I mean, this is basically a geek's love story to Yahoo, where he worked for 3 years. So this is really, really funny. So he's actually leaving for Facebook, so it's kind of interesting to see both companies in a very wide and very real sense actually showcased in an incredibly nerdy way. All right, next little thing that we got up for you here. Sony PS3 owners, I'm very sorry. If you happen to own one of the original PS3s, you have long had the option of actually installing something on the other for another operating system, as opposed to just Sony's own operating system. system to run the PS3 stuff. And a lot of people did homebrew Linux and things like that, and it was one of the ways that Sony tried to make nice with the modding community. They said, you know, our console's incredibly mod-friendly because, hey, you can install Linux on it. Well, apparently with the latest firmware release, they're actually dropping the support for Linux. So if you were using the PS3 as a home media server or something like that, and you're using the Linux features, decline the newest firmware. Unfortunately, it does mean you're probably not going to be able to play the newer movies and games, because, as you know, the fun thing about DRM and all the different things that they like to do is that they say, oh, this provides a better user experience overall. It's like, yeah, okay, so taking away options from users never actually provides better user experience. It just gives you less culpability if somebody's able to find a way to pirate a game. So I don't know. I'm actually a little bit disappointed in that, and I never even owned a PS3. Not that I would necessarily do that or add Linux to the actual box. Just having the option there was cool enough. You know what I mean? All right, and then the last little bit of geek cruft that I have to share for you today, and before we head on into the food and caffeinated cruft, is the lightsaber bookend link from over at Gizmodo.com. I thought this was incredibly awesome. It's honestly just a piece of bulkhead on either side with a lightsaber burning a hole between the two of them. So unfortunately, it's $50 a pair, and if you have that kind of coin to spend on bookends, you are a better man than I am. However, you know, depending on your geek layer and the amount of geek cred that you have shoved into any one space, you know, you may have to spend that. I mean, if you have a whole Star Wars theme going on and you happen to have a lot of Star Wars books that you'd like to end on either side with a bookend, this is the perfect thing to do it, except the fact that the lightsaber seems to take up a decent amount of space. So, I mean, hey, you know, I'm much more for storing more books and less ends. You know what I mean? All right, that about wraps up the Geek Cruft section. We got a ton of cool stuff over in the food and caffeinated bit, so we are going to just dive right on in. First little article that we actually got up for you here is a review written by none other than myself over at caffeination.com. It's of a lovely coffee called the Cafe Trombetta Red. Now, I actually won this coffee in a contest on Twitter. I'm always one to enter free contests for free stuff. I just have a habit of winning the coffee ones, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Just every once in a while, I'd like to win, you know, some crazy piece of geek cruft. But hey, you know what? Beggars can't be choosers, and I love winning anything, so anytime somebody's willing to provide me with free coffee, hey, I'll review it, I'll check it out, I'll look it up and down, left, right, and center. So this is a great little giveaway that they actually have from over at Roast-E. Roast-E's an interesting site because it's actually a community built around the people who are buying the coffee on the site. So you can actually trade reviews, you can go back and forth. There's a profile information. So I think it's interesting. People can see which coffees you've tried, which ones you liked, which ones you didn't. So if you're looking for something like that, Roasties looks kind of interesting. It looks kind of fun to play around with. I actually did write a review over on their site. Consider this the extended review. I'm giving it overall 4 out of 5 beans in the large roaster category. We're actually going to be starting to give the rating the 1 to 5 star ideal from here at the Caffeination Podcast, except we're using beans because, you know, it's all about coffee around here. And just because Google seems to like reviews that have the star factor in them a little bit more. So it's one of the things that we're shifting here, but we are going to be breaking things down into categories because, you know, it's not really fair to put something that's, you know, pan roasted or artisan roasted up against something from a large company, because more often than not, the large company's beans are not going to taste the same. They're not going to have the same kind of flavor characteristics or anything. So it's the same thing if I'm, working on something like a hot air popcorn popper and roasting my own beans, and I'm going to measure that. I'm not going to measure that against a full scale roaster that I would buy for $200 from a store. They're just not in the same league. So with that in mind, the Cafe Trombetta is probably one of the best large roaster variety coffees that I've had in an incredibly long time. It has an incredibly bright and pungent smell. As soon as you open up the bag, I actually got a 2-pound bag, which makes it perfect for storing in the office because, you know, I love good coffee and it really keeps well. So it's an incredibly bright and wonderful smell. Literally, it filled my office and a little bit beyond. I had, as I started grinding and roasting it, I had people wandering in from the entire floor to actually find out exactly what smelled as delectable as this did. It had a wonderful medium brown color to it, dry with no oil, which is a very refreshing thing to see from an Italian coffee company, because a lot of them have a darker than usual roast, or people who are in the United States who are roasting to an Italian profile tend to go much darker than they need to, and really kind of destroys the what makes a bean good half the time. So I mean, I love a nice, good, dark roast, but it has to be able to stand, the beans have to be able to stand up to it. So this is a great coffee, has lovely chocolate notes to it, has a kind of, it's a sweeter, dark chocolate with a clean finish overall. So if that's kind of the thing that you find interesting and you have $30 to spend on 2 pounds of coffee, then you can head on over to Roasty and actually get it. I think Roasty is actually one of the only places in the United States you can actually get Cafe Trombetta coffee, and this is the red variety. I haven't tried any of the others, but this was incredibly cool. All right, moving right along. Next little review that we got up for you here is Starbucks Double Shot Energy Plus Coffee Light. Now, unfortunately, the last time that I reviewed a Starbucks beverage here in the podcast, it was a very good beverage. This was a very bad beverage. That's the only thing I can say. I gave it 1.5 beans out of 5 in the canned coffee variety. I don't know what kind of energy drink that you need to attach to coffee. Coffee is its own energy drink. I don't like the other stuff that's put in there usually, so it was no surprise to me that it added kind of a bitter and almost sour extra taste on top of it. That just not bad. It's not chemical. It's not anything like that. They added guarana, ginseng, and other lovelies into this massive drink. It's 16 ounces, so it's relatively large overall in the terms of coffee, but at the same point in time, it kind of weighs in a little bit more closely with the regular Starbucks sizes. It again is sweetened with Splenda, which is something that's sort of good because, you know, it's one of the only non-sugar sweeteners that I actually can tolerate, but at the same point in time, it's not sugar, and I like sugar. It's 100 calories for the entire serving, so you know, your mileage may vary. Next little thing that we got up for here is a great little reaction piece, actually, to a funny thing that's been making the rounds about Dave Grohl, the lead singer of the Foo Fighters, one of the driving forces behind Them Crooked Vultures, and of course the iconic drummer for Nirvana, actually has a love of coffee, and there's a viral video that's going out. It's kind of a way to promote Them Crooked Vultures, which is his new project, which is actually him, the singer from Queens of the Stone Age, whose name escapes me, and John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin. It's an incredibly crazy modern, it's a fusion between modern rock and classic rock, and it has a really classic rock taste to it overall. It's very, very cool stuff. But that beyond it, he has a video where he's screaming fresh pots into the thing, and it's basically saying he had around 5 pots of coffee a day, and and they're saying that his coffee addiction spiraled out of control, and by the end of actually the recording of the Them Crooked Vultures stuff, since he was not sleeping very often, he ended up being hospitalized, and this is the iconic verbiage from that clip.
Come on, just in fresh pot.
He's got him sick. So, I mean, he's screaming fresh pots throughout the entire thing. It's kind of funny, kind of interesting. I happen to really like Dave Grohl and a lot of the music he's produced. So, and the video is funny to boot. So, there's so many people that are out there that have taken this the wrong way. They basically said, you know, oh my God, do you see how bad coffee is for you? Do you see what it did to him? And it's a funny take on the video, but they're saying that there's actually a lot of real stuff behind it because he was actually hospitalized for chest pains. Because he was having what he described as his 5 pots of coffee a day, but he was also only sleeping 1 or 2 hours a night. If anything, I would say the chest pains is probably due to stress because of the sleeping 1 to 2 hours a night on top of trying to keep yourself up with the caffeine. So it's like trying to blame the bartender for you being an alcoholic. It's one of those things where I think the coffee was the enabler in this case, and I don't necessarily see it as the problem itself. So I don't know. I mean, there's probably holes that you can poke in that analogy all over the place, but you can head on over to the actual podcast to read my entire take on it. So it's an interesting concept, I think, overall. Next little awesome thing that we have for you here is actually interesting entry into the realm of heat protecting devices. Now, you've seen the little cup koozies that slip over top of the cup no matter where you happen to get your coffee, and they actually create a lot of extra waste in landfills, and there's a decent business that has been built up around actually creating those koozies. There was a patent on it for the longest time, which seems kind of funny, but at the same point in time, very capitalistic. And everybody's always looking for the next big thing. So there's something called the heat swell, which is actually a piece of material that's actually wrapped around the cup. And depending on the temperature of the beverage that's actually put into it, the heat swell actually blows up over a little bit of a time to actually provide an extra protective layer of stuff. And the best part about heat swell is actually some of the videos that they have up there. So if you head on over to the Caffeination link here, you can see the video for this thing. Originally, I found this article over on Device, and apparently it seems to react more violently and expand more quickly when you pour the hot beverage in and the hot beverage hits the side first than when you pour it in and let it fill up from the center. But there's a lot of interesting applications. Apparently this stuff is biodegradable and has all the other buzzwords and green compliance stuff that's actually in there. But at the same point in time, it's one of those things where it's actually weird, and I wonder how it would actually feel. I mean, because if you can't hold the cup because it feels too weird, Nicky, I don't really think it's actually worthwhile. And depending on the price point of actually attaching this to the outside of your cup and how long it would actually take, because it looks like it's time-lapse photography when they show you it expanding. So depending on how long it would actually take to swell up, that would probably determine the limit of its effectiveness in use in retail. So more people should just switch to actually bringing their own mug in. I think we'd be a little bit better off. Next little fun thing we have for you is a little one-off, again, over at the Caffeination. It's basically a stool shaped like a teacup, little Alice in Wonderland style to it. This one was originally from over at 7Gadgets, so you can find over there. If you have $175 to spend on a tiny chair that looks like a teacup, this is for you. Next little bit of fun things that we have over here is a link from over randomgoodstuff.com. It's a straw that actually looks like an elephant's tusk. It's 9.5 inches long. This is something that's just really cool overall, and it's something that I would actually look into getting for my kid because I know he would use it. But the idea behind this is that you're supposed to, it's only $7 for the straw, and the idea behind this is that as you sip on the straw, it makes it look like you have a trunk leaning down into the water. So, yes, the trunk's going to get messy and nasty and icky from sitting down in whatever beverage that you're trying to slurp up, but it looks a little bit funny at the same point in time. So, if you have $7 and your kid is somebody who would enjoy a good laugh, then this is something that you might consider. All right, next little article that we actually got for you is the Coffee Survival Plan. This is something that I've been working on for a while in concept and never really actually put forward. Here we got, first step is to identify the problem. Second step is how low will you sink to actually get your fix. And third step is to plan your escape route. Now, I have everything broken down into two things, questions you need to answer, things you need to go through. If your first step, identify your problem. Are you out of coffee, or has your coffee-making device broken? Second step, how much, what are you looking for? How low will you sink? I need caffeine, give me anything, or I'm willing to chew the beans instead. So, and the third one is plan your escape route. Now, I have this set down to a science in my office. Not only do I have the coffee that I usually brew, which is currently the Cafe Trembetta Red, I also have pre-ground coffee sitting off to the side in case I run out of that and forget to bring it in. And beyond that, I actually have change stored to actually go to the good coffee places on campus. And beyond that, the absolute lowest thing that I have, which is sort of sitting there, is the two ready-made packets of, I don't have any Instant in the mobile layer of my office, but I actually do have two packets of coffee that I actually got from a hotel that are, you know, completely sealed. And when you open them up, they're tiny little self-contained pods that are basically one cup of coffee per pod. So it's kind of interesting to see the levels at which I have gone to actually making sure that I'm never without coffee. But you know, a lot of it's trying to MacGyver your way out of the situations. Your grinder broken? Hey, you know what you can do? Use a rolling pin on a plastic bag, or a mortar and pestle, or two big tablespoons and just crush them little bit by little bit, or a burlap bag and a claw hammer. The sky's the limit here. Is your drip brew carafe broken? Use a rubber band to keep the stopper open on the basket and a metal pot to sit on the warming pad. Remember, you're desperate. The entire machine broken? Time for cowboy coffee. This is the end-all and be-all thing that you can do. Here is cowboy coffee, the recipe, start to finish. Put a pot of water on the stove. Bring it to a boil. Turn off the heat. Wait for the bubbles to stop. Throw in your coffee grounds. Wait 3 to 4 minutes, stirring the mix every once in a while so it doesn't get all clumpy. And number 5, and the last step, is add a cup of cold water to settle down the beans and a dash of salt to take the oil out if there's a lot of it floating up on the top. And serve with a ladle. Yes, there's going to be some ground sitting at the bottom of the cup, but the cold water should hopefully settle everything down. You now have an incredibly capable thing, so as long as you have water and beans, you should be up and ready to go. So I'm just asking for people to share, what do you have your coffee survival plan? And my coffee survival guide is actually a graphic representation of the different things that I've done and the different things you need to plan for to actually do it. So it's actually a link over at Flickr.com that actually is a fun little sketch note that I did of today at lunch, actually, and just share them with the world in case you find something that you think is kind of fun. And then the last little thing we got up for you here, poison checkers of the world rejoice. Well, not real poison checkers. Everybody knows that in somebody's house out there's a job of milk checker. Usually the person with the best nose, so the best schnoz, always wins this one, and it's your job to sniff the milk to see exactly how good it is. Or you could be a date Nazi where, you know, you're sitting there and as soon as that date hits, you throw the milk out, which is not always the case that it's actually ripe at that point. Or you could be somebody who just, you know, doesn't buy milk because you don't want to make sure, or you want to make sure that it doesn't go bad, or you're not sure how long it would stay fresh. One of the tips that I've seen repeatedly is that if you store the milk not on the top shelf in the fridge, then it actually lasts longer, which is kind of funny. I am the milk checker in my house, and then of course you have the lovely poison checker thing where you have to actually sip it just to make sure every once in a while. So nobody wants chunky milk in the cereal. Nobody wants the nasty stuff that comes out of a kid's sippy cup. But, you know, there's so many different gradations of good versus bad milk, and sometimes it's a little hard to see. So enter Cravendale. They've actually put a product concept out there, which is actually, they have a proof of concept prototype out that's actually a milk carafe that's able to test the pH in the milk to see if it is good or bad. And there's a lovely little digital readout on the side that says fresh or spoiled. This would reduce the overall throwing out of milk. If it's bad, it'll also eliminate my job. And there's nothing like starting off the day with a nostril full of sour milk, I gotta tell you. So the quicker this thing is readily available, the happier I will be. All right, that about wraps it up here today. As the animals are starting to get restless down here in the caffeination layer, I don't know if it's me talking or if it's just the fact that everybody's kind of going a little bit cranky with everything all out of sorts down here. I got to tell you, for about the first 3 or 4 days when everything was all torn up, the cats and the dog were all kind of crying and running around because they weren't really sure how things were going. All right, so now we have entered into the last little section here at the caffeination. Thank you ever so much for listening. In case you forgot and you listened to the whole show and you have no clue where to find more awesome stuff like this, please feel free to head on over to the regular homepage of the Caffeination Podcast, where everything is lovingly nestled, the audio content and the interesting blog stuff that goes up there. It is all lovingly nestled at www.caffination.com. Caffeination@gmail.com for any comments or feedback, and you can dial into the listener line, direct a voicemail at 215-240-1319. Everything else is usually caffeination except Skype, which is actually the caffeination, all one word, because whoever has caffeination hasn't used Skype in quite a long time. I really want that username. All right, that about wraps it up here tonight. Thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.